This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
All right, yesterday it got weird for the Tennessee Titans. Vic Beasley, one of their big offseason signings from the Atlanta Falcons, expected to fill the void on that defense in 2020, left by the departure of Jarrell Casey, had not reported to camp. He also had not opted out. Here is Mike Vrabel talking about the absence of Vic Beasley yesterday at Old Oilers camp.
Probably a lot of questions and concerns, you know, about Vic Beasley. I just want to address, you know, where we are with that. And me personally, you know, we're excited to see Vic when he gets here. Again, have not, he's not here. Everybody else is. You know, he's under contract. We expect him to be here. But again, have not, have reached out, have not had much conversation with him. You know, we still look forward to getting him in here and coaching him when he gets here and want him to be a part of the football team. So obviously I'm hopeful that we can focus and I can focus on our football team and the guys that are here that are improving and the ones that we're coaching.
Has there been any further communications with the teams with Vic since John's statement a week ago?
Not for me, Teresa. That's where we're at with that.
Sports Radio 610. Breaking news. Powered by Radio.com Sports. Brought to you by the Dell Technologies Small Business Podference. Go listen at radio.com/Dell.
And just like that, the wait for Vic Beasley is over. Paul Kaharsky from the Tennessean reporting just a few moments ago. Vic Beasley has reported to the Tennessee Titans. He's undergoing COVID-19 testing right now, and he has to test negative three times in the next 4 days in order to enter the Titans facility. And after that, then he's going to start acclimating himself to the process and get with it with the team. Pretty bizarre thing. Didn't opt out, but didn't report, was under contract, and now, as of a few moments ago, has reported.
Yeah, it's going to be a pretty awkward transition for Vic Beasley. He's going to have to learn a new defense. He's going to have to I don't know if he's going to have to explain himself.
Maybe his teammates.
Maybe things just go on like nothing's there. But we were wondering if Vic Beasley was going to report. He has reported to Tennessee, the team who, by the way, last year made the AFC Championship, something the Texans have never done and something every team in the division has done since Bill O'Brien's been head coach of the Houston Texans. Every team, of course, except the Texans has been to the AFC.
There's reason to believe that he won't excel immediately given the long layoff, a brand new team, brand new defense, and the reason, whatever it is. Maybe he doesn't like the defense. Maybe he doesn't like Vrabel's, the coaches outside of Vrabel or Vrabel, who knows, but he has reported. If he can get past all that, dude's a player, man. I mean, he makes plays. He really does.
It'll be interesting to see what goes on with that defense because we know about the Titans' offense. So they got 10 of 11 starters coming back. Jack Conklin's the only starter they lost, their right tackle, but they drafted Isaiah Austin to replace him. So their offense appears ready to go. There's a lot of upside when it comes to the position players. They got Derrick Henry. Defense is really where their question marks lie when they lose Jarrell Casey, and they also lost Dean Pease, their defensive coordinator. So Vrabel might be calling the defense. He might not be. And we'll see how that works out. It's something to keep an eye on for the Texans. And, of course, we know the Titans' defense is a concern. We've been talking a lot about the Texans' offense, and maybe it's just the sexier thing to talk about. But I personally am almost going to put to rest any concerns I have about the offense, because this offense not being really, really good for the Texans, to me, is not an option. Here's Deshaun Watson over the weekend talking about taking the next step. And listen to what he says when he discusses taking the next step, because I think it's very telling, and it's the reason why I'm just not even going to worry about the offense anymore. I'm just going to let them do their thing, and I'm just going to assume that this is going to be a good offense.
Just being, you know, very detailed in my craft, not making those little error mistakes, you know, of course, protecting the ball, making sure everyone is on the same page, and really just kind of, you know, coming down to the, you know, the end of the game situations. You know, I know I was, you know, pretty decent at it last year, but I want to be perfect. And I want to be able to, you know, win those close games. I want to be able to close out those games against, you know, New Orleans and against a couple other teams that, you know, we came up short, you know, against in the fourth quarter.
What exactly could he have done more against New Orleans? He found Kenny Stills for a touchdown with under a minute left.
Yeah.
I mean, when you hear Deshaun Watson say to take the next step, we got to close those games against New Orleans, that's nothing more than he could have done. What was he supposed to do? Throw it to Kenny Stills and tackle him at the 1 yard line and let the time run off the clock? Like, that was all defense right there. The Texans had
Kansas
under
City
a minute
was defense.
Left. They had to keep him out. They had to keep him out of the end zone. And then all of a sudden, Aaron Colvin's basically getting a hot dog in the stands and you give it up. When you talk about that's the key right there, that to me tells me defense. Defense is the key for the Texans, because there's nothing more Deshaun could have done against New Orleans. He should have been the hero. He should have been on the field getting interviewed on national TV afterwards, but the defense is what let him down. And they didn't do anything really of significance, in my opinion, to address the defense.
You are 100% correct. I mean, absolutely. I think he was just being nice in terms of not wanting to throw Bill O'Brien or the defense or the defensive staff under the bus. Basically, he's saying, yeah, you know, I did a lot last year. I guess I got to do more. I mean, you know, it could have gone the other way. He could have thrown them under the bus and said something in a subtle way, but he just put it on himself. I don't mind it and I understand it, but it's not true. I mean, the defense is where you – that's why I said if they're just top 15, just in the top half of the NFL, I have confidence –
That's a lot to ask.
I know it is, but I'll have confidence that they can get where they want to get.
Well, that's a lot. That's a lot to ask. And are you really confident that's going to happen?
No.
I mean, we're talking about –
Oh, no. I'm just saying what I think.
They were dead last year in the two most important categories, third down defense and red zone defense. And you lost DJ Reader. He's a big part of things. Do you, if JJ can go back to being elite or even being what he was 2 years ago, I guess that gives you a decent chance. But if you just look at what they've, where their attention's gone in the offseason, you paid David Johnson $10 million. You traded DeAndre Hopkins. You brought in Brandon Cooks, traded a second round pick for him. You've used a ton of draft picks on the offensive line. You signed Randall Cobb to a contract a lot of people didn't understand. Duke Johnson's one of the 15 highest paid running backs in the NFL. I mean, and on offense, you brought in a second-round pick in Ross Blacklock, and then you brought in Eric Murray. We still don't know what that is, and you lost DJ Reader. Like, how am I supposed to sit here and expect this defense to be top 15? And furthermore, I can sit here and I can talk about concerns on the offense, and we can do that for days, and it's probably more exciting, but it's not an option. It's really not an option for this offense not to be really, really, really good.
Yeah.
Because if that happens, it's going to be a disastrous season.
Well, it has to be really, really, really good. And you can look at the losses last year as evidence. You know, he's talking about, you know, needing to do more. Not a whole lot more he could have done if you look at the losses. You just mentioned the New Orleans game. And clearly, you know, that was a game where they gave up 30 points defensively. The only low-scoring game they lost was Carolina. You know, they go to Indianapolis. They gave up 30. They go to Baltimore. Gave up 41. At home against the Broncos, you suck too, 38. And then, of course, 51 in the playoff loss. So, not a whole – I mean, the offense was scoring, but the defense was just, you know, giving it up.
I think Deshaun Watson gives you a certain level of – potential to win football games when he's there, regardless of who the quarterback is. regardless of who, what's around him, whether he has a bad offensive line like he did a couple seasons ago and they won 11 games, or whether last year where you addressed the offensive line and you still have one of the worst defenses, but you still win 10 games and he has a superhuman effort against the Buffalo Bills. To me, with all this attention that's being dedicated to the offense, it kind of reminds me of like when you're in Pee Wee or when you're in high school, because Bill O'Brien hasn't been a very good offensive coordinator. I think Clint Sterner has said it. We've said it. There wasn't much improvement last year. We don't know what Tim Kelly's going to be. But despite that, there's been a lot invested in the offense. And it reminds me of like in high school or, you know, even if you're just at the rec center, when a guy who's not very good at a sport has the best gear. This guy has the most expensive bat. This guy's rocking the new Jays. Those are $300 Jays that he's hooping in. Oh, my gosh, look at that dude's fresh gear. And he goes out there and he still sucks. To me, that's what I feel like when they dedicate all this attention on the offensive side, because there's not much payoff. Last year, you trade the two firsts and the second for Laremy Tunsil and Kenny Stills. You use a second-round pick on Max Sharping. You use a first-round pick on Titus Howard. You invested all of this on the offense, and you average as many yards, less rushing yards, and exact same amount of passing yards. Oh, and less points. And it just reminds me of when that guy has the nice new shoes, but he's going out there and hooping, and he sucks. At some point, you have to justify the investments you make, and I'm dedicating way too much attention to the offensive side of the ball, and I'm ignoring what the biggest flaw is of this football team. And it's the defense. It's the defense. It's not an option for this offense to just be okay. They have to be really good if that next step's going to be taken.
You can't ignore the defense, but maybe Bill O'Brien, an offensive-minded coach his whole life, of course, is just kind of going, okay, our strength is offense. Let's make it as strong as possible. Maybe he's recognizing they're going to give it up on defense. They're going to give up, like as I just laid out, 30, 38, 41, hopefully not this, but 51. They're going to give up a lot of points on the defensive side. Maybe they're just going to get in foot races, man. They're just going to you know, load up on offense, because you can't. Here's the thing: one guy isn't going to fix this defense. If all of a sudden, you know, somebody said, you know what, take any player off of any other team, which would be incredible. I mean, which would be
what's up, Aaron Donald?
Awesome, yeah, Aaron Donald. You know, Von Miller. You know, whomever it is. That guy still wouldn't help this defense be top five.
It would be closer.
It wouldn't be top five.
No, it's not.
So maybe
this
they're thinking
it has to be.
Has to be. Let's just get in races, man. Let's just outrace people.
Are they capable of racing?
Well, that's what they're doing. They're loading up. That's why they went spread with so many wide receivers and gave up Hopkins. That wasn't a good idea. But still, their thinking, not mine, but their thinking is, let's make it so diverse, so hard to cover, that we're just going to score 30, 35, 40 points against fools.
I'm hearing Anthony Weaver talk about, you know, what he wants to do with his defense.
I feel bad for him.
Like, just sitting there, man. Like, this guy is – it's his first year as a defensive coordinator, and, man, like, I don't know what am I supposed to expect from him. If they get in the top half, to me, that's fine. If the defense can get in the top half, that's fine. Despite just putting these offensive concerns to the side – I still have my reservations about it, but it's really just not an option if this team's going to be good, for the offense to just be okay.
It has to be super.
Slight improvement. It has to be awesome, and they have to know what they're doing. And we know the elephant in the room when it comes to that and the moves that have been made. So I'm very, very worried about the defense. The offense not being good is not an option. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you. Those are the expectations for the Texans as training camp continues right next door at NRG. I need to adjust my expectations for the Astros. I'm going to lay them out for you, J-Lo, as they head into a huge series in Oakland against the first-place A's. I want you to tell me if these expectations are too much, too little, or just right. That's next.
Live from the Twin Peaks studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
All right, let's adjust Astros' expectations. 500 Astros right now. Not looking good. A lot of injuries. I don't even think I can list all the injuries the Astros have at this point. Verlander, likely done for the season. Roberto Osuna, likely done for the season. Yordan Alvarez, working on his knees. Jose Urquidy, just started throwing off a mound. Brad Peacock just started throwing off a mound. Chris Devinsky and Joe Biagini, outs. Alidmys Diaz, outs. George Springer, hurt wrist yesterday. We don't know what's going to happen with him. Michael Brantley, dealing with leg soreness. He's DHing. A lot has gone wrong for the Astros, who were just a couple weeks ago a World Series or bust type team when it looked like they were at full strength. But now, here we are, almost a quarter through the season, and the Houston Astros are heading into Oakland, the first place A's, with a 2.5-game lead. And I think we need to adjust our expectations, John Lopez.
I think we already kind of have started, but maybe even more, huh? Maybe even more based on some of the injuries.
Yeah, I think so. And I have my four expectations for the Houston Astros at this point. And I want you to tell me whether or not these are fair or whether or not these are unfair with the 500 Houston Astros. By the way, first pitch tonight at 8:10. We'll have the post-game show right after with yours truly. Expectation number one, and this is just a personal thing. I want an extra inning bunt. Just one.
Buntgate will strike again.
I want an extra inning bunt from Dusty Baker. Mm-hmm. Just one.
I'm with you.
That's all I ask for.
I'm with you.
That's it.
Especially if a second guy gets on base.
One bunt.
Yeah.
That's all I ask for, Dusty. Just one bunt. Expectation number two. We can talk about the Texans offense and all the reservations and the Texans offense needing to carry the defense. And I think that in the big scheme of things, there is logical reservations for anyone to believe that that's going to happen. Mm-hmm. Despite the investments, there's a lot of skepticism there. I think this Astros offense, which is top of the league in runs per game, I expect this Astros offense, even without Yordan Alvarez, even without Diaz, even with Springer banged up and Brantley banged up, to be top three in the league. Is that fair? Top three in the league. Top three scoring offense in baseball.
It almost has to be. It's a little bit of a – look, they're scoring runs right now, tops in the league. Their clutch hitting has been a little bit less than that. But beyond that, I think it's very realistic. It's absolutely realistic.
Expectation number three. 34 wins. That's what I want. I want 34 wins from the Astros. That's 8 games above 500. The A's in this division are good. The Rangers are a disaster. They can't hit. They lost Corey Kluber. Mm-hmm. Looks like potentially for the year. The Angels, they lost Ohtani. We don't know what's going to happen with them, although Mike Trout has returned. 34 wins. The playoffs have been expanded. 34 wins is what I want from the Astros. You look like you might be thinking that that's a little bit too much.
That's a little bit too much. Right now, I mean, a lot depends on this coming series. If the Astros don't win, let's put it this way. If the A's sweep the series, currently the Astros are 6-6 and the A's are 9-4. If the A's go to 12-4 and the Astros to 6-9, I'm not going to say it's over, but it's tough to get to the division lead. And 34 wins would be – they're 12 games in, and you still want them to get to 34?
34.
That'd be a hell of a run.
That's what I want, 34 wins.
Be a hell of a run.
Well, they can start hitting.
Yeah.
They're going to have 4-1 run leads probably heading into the eighth or ninth, but they can start hitting. Expectation number four, and this is my final one.
Mm-hmm.
I want at least a deciding – Game 3 in the first round. I want a deciding Game 3. The playoffs have been expanded. You're going to have 8 teams from both the American and National League. Just give me a deciding Game 3. Leave it out there, a deciding Game 3 for the Stros. That's my final expectation that's been adjusted for the Stros.
I thought Seth brought up a tremendous question earlier today on Sean and Seth's show. Would you rather face the Yankees in the first round or down the road?
I'd rather face them in the first round in a fluky 3-game series.
100%.
I mean, because the rest of their rotation outside of Gerrit Cole hasn't been very good. Gerrit Cole's 3-0 with, I believe, a 2.5 ERA. He's been electric. He's been what we've been used to around here. But the rest of their rotation, not that great. And, oh, by the way, the Astros do know Gerrit Cole a little bit. I don't know if that's an advantage or not. You saw Dusty decide not to go with Greinke yesterday, went with Belak instead, because he said the D-backs knew him. Astros know Gerrit Cole.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be interesting to see when the Astros, if they do face Gerrit Cole, what it looks like, because they know him very, very well. They know him better than anybody else in this league,
right,
when he's been a top-tier pitcher. So I think I would rather have a – because I think the Yankees are the best team, right? We agree? Yankees are better than the Astros.
Well, the Twins are 10-3 with a much better record.
I'm talking about the Yankees and the Astros. The Yankees are better.
Yankees are better.
100%.
They're mashing.
So what gives you – what's more fluky, a best of seven or a 2 out of 3? 2 out of 3 every day.
Yeah. I thought it was a great question, and the answer I think is very obvious. You – every day of the week, well, 3 days of the week, you want to face the Yankees in a three-game series if you have to. One faces eight. So right now I think the Yankees would face, I think, the Angels or something like that. I mean, if the playoffs started today. But if the Astros had a chance to face the Yankees in the first round, I would much rather do that than down the road. Much, much.
Yeah, that's the way. I think you want the better teams in the first round, and you don't want to put it off.
Yeah.
Because this rotation, too, I mean, once you get deeper into the playoffs, a lot of times your rotation is kind of messed up. And, like, say that someone pitches in a deciding game, then he might not be available for game one. Ideally, if you go in the postseason in the first round, if you can see, like, some light at the end of the tunnel, you can start getting your rotation ready. And I don't think the Astros, like, let's say in the second round, let's say that Greinke's just lights out the rest of the year.
Right.
If he pitches in that deciding game three and he's not on the bump for the first game against the Yankees, to me, it's an uphill battle. So I think that's a very good point. You would want the Yankees
early on. By
the way,
if the playoffs, I'm looking at it right now, if the playoffs did start today, it would be Astros-Indians in the first round.
Indians playing some good ball. They might have the best pitching in the league.
Yeah.
So that would be one of those things where the flukiness could come into play as well. They're overachieving out there in Cleveland. We didn't think that it was going to be a break for the Astros, but my gosh, those expanded playoffs saved their ass.
They really did. One more thought on the expanded playoffs that I think is also saving the Astros. You know, in this format, the higher seeded team plays all three games at home, but what does it matter? I mean, there's nobody there. It's not like a true, other than the surroundings, there's not really a home field advantage at all. So I for the Astros and where they are right now with all the injuries and not really playing their best ball, it couldn't have worked out better in terms of, you know, their opponents and how they might fare.
The one thing that I do think that we need to mention with the Astros, because the expectations have been so high, and that's why I'm adjusting them. I don't want to be unfair to the Astros. I feel like they should have multiple World Series the last few years. They don't, but this is not a World Series team anymore. There is some help on the way. So I think if you're looking at the perfect help that the Astros could get realistically, I'm not going to sit here and throw out some hypothetical trade, but if you're looking at the perfect help the Astros could get, Urquidy from last year, if Urquidy can just be close to what he was last year, that's a bonus.
Yeah.
Brad Peacock from maybe a couple years ago, maybe not as good as he was in 2017, but a long reliever in Brad Peacock who you feel like you can somewhat trust. Aledmys Diaz coming back, being your utility guy. And then I'm not even going to mention Yordan Alvarez, because I don't know what the hell's going on with those knees. So I'm not even going to throw Yordan Alvarez out there at that point. But you do have some guys coming in. Hell, even Davinsky at this point. I'll take a veteran for better or worse. If you can bring those guys back, there is a little bit of help, and this still is a playoff team. But we'll see what happens this weekend. You take 2 out of 3 from the A's, you got to tip the cap. You're going to have Greinke on the bump tonight. Then you're going to have Framber Valdez, and then you're going to have our guy Christian Javier.
Mm-hmm.
See what happens, but this is a big series, because after when we talk on Monday, you're going to be a quarter through the season.
It's a really big series earlier in the year. As you said, quarter through the season after this, and the A's are the team that they're feeling it, man, right now. They feel like they can get the Astros, and they can win the division. And as much as the Astros are still going to make the playoffs, it's going to be almost next to impossible for them, as good as they are offensively alone, to not make the playoffs. Man, even though I just talked about it's not a huge advantage with the home field and it's, you know, and other things, I think the A's as a division champ would just be in a better spot, you know, based on who they would be facing. You know, so Astros need to get going, man.
They need to get going. Yesterday would have been a nice time for things to get going. The biggest punch to the junk is that It was Ryan Pressly on the mound that cost you that game in the ninth, and he couldn't get an out. Yeah. It'd be one thing for one of these kids to do it because you expect it. Hell, Mariano Rivera had an ERA over five his first year in the league. But when it's the guy that you feel like you can rely on the most and he's the one who lets the team down in the ninth, that's where it really hurts. Now, it was good to see Altuve get those three hits. So maybe Altuve's finding his groove, but right when that happens, George Springer sprains his wrist. So the kicks to the junk keep coming for the
Springer is day to day. What I haven't seen the absolute latest. I'll look on Brantley, but you know,
he's DHing, so he'll be fine.
Yeah, he'll be DHing today. That's the last they said about that. But it just stinks because you really feel like they've wasted a couple of games that should have been wins, and last night was another one.
Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you here on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610. Texans training camp continues. They might be adding someone on their defense. He used to be a very, very good player. Could he help this defense this year? And some chatter from Jacksonville. Doug Marrone weighs in on his quarterback barking like a dog. The hits next.
Playing all the hits. These are the hot stories of the day. Presented by United Rentals, the tools and equipment you need for any job. You're in the loop with Houston's sports leader, Sports Radio 610.
Texans training camp going on right now. Deshaun Watson looking to take that next step. Here's the quarterback on what he needs to do to get in the same tier as Pat Mahomes and Lamar Jackson.
Just being, you know, very detailed in my craft, not making those little error mistakes, you know, of course, protecting the ball, making sure everyone is on the same page, and really just kind of, you know, coming down to the, you know, the end of the game situations. You know, I know I was, you know, pretty decent at it last year, but I want to be perfect, and I want to be able to, you know, win those close games. I want to be able to close out those games against, you know, New Orleans and against a couple other teams that, you know, we came up short, you know, against in the fourth quarter.
Serious question, and I'm being dead ass
serious. I know you are.
And I hate when you preface something with dead ass serious, but I'm for real. What more could Deshaun Nothing. Watson have done last year?
Absolutely.
Like, if you look back at Deshaun Watson last year, what more could he have done? What more would you have wanted from Deshaun Watson? Seriously.
Yeah, I mean, obviously you could say, well, better stats, more touchdowns, all that. We're talking about just in terms of, you know, how this team played in the individual games, the plays that he made. You couldn't ask him to make more plays than he did. I mean, that's he saved people's butts. I mean, the Chicago game. I mean, just go down the list. The New Orleans game, you know, until the defense gave it up. But no, you can't ask for more than that. I think he's just being nice. You know, he's not throwing the defense and Bill O'Brien and the offense and the defensive coaches under the bus, because that should have been, and by all accounts was, the winning touchdown pass. Should have been one of the first big moments of a really good year for Deshaun.
He found a guy who was here less than a week.
Yeah, instead it was a loss because of the defense.
I don't know what more I could have expected from Watson last year.
Nothing.
Now, people will say, well, he needs to see what's going on before. He needs to hit the open guy. He needs to look in other guys' directions. Will Fuller was out last year for a large portion of the games. Like, who'd you want him to throw to? Like, Kenny Stills was banged up. Like, I don't know. I think he's going to have a chance because the receiving core is deeper. But I think he was adjusting to how things were when he was looking at DeAndre Hopkins. I think he's going to get better. And I also think that when a quarterback goes to the line of scrimmage, yes, some of them see the line of scrimmage better.
Yeah.
Some of them get rid of the ball quicker. Some of them find that hot read a lot quicker. But that's not just the quarterback. Like, a lot of times that's the coach in the room with the quarterback, the coach being able to spend time with the quarterback. You heard Deshaun say that Bill O'Brien couldn't meet with him as much as he needed to. So is it really just Deshaun Watson needs to be better at that? Or is that a Bill O'Brien thing? Like, if the plays aren't getting in fast enough,
yeah,
is that Deshaun's fault? Or does the coach have something to do with
it? No,
that?
The coach absolutely has something to do with it. But you said a lot there, and I think the one thing that I want to that I think is more the most important is, you know, does he need to get rid of the ball sooner? If we're being honest, I don't want him to get rid of the ball sooner. And the reason is, yes, if he could go boom, 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 hit that back step, let it go, right on time, right on target, you know, on every play, great. But Deshaun Watson, his highest and best moments were when he didn't get rid of the ball sooner. And then the counterpoint is, yeah, but it'll shorten his career. If we're really being honest here, I mean, are we being 100, as Landry says all the time? You know, if we're really being honest here, I think fans and myself, would you take two less years of Deshaun Watson if he could hold on to the ball longer and get you a title because of those plays that he makes? The answer is 100% yes. No one wants Deshaun Watson's career to be, you know, shortened. But if we're talking about making plays like he has done, and we've seen, you know, the Houdini act over and over again, I'd rather him hold on to the ball longer. If he can get out of the trouble, yeah, he's going to take some more hits. Yes, he's going to be sacked more often. But this is a better offensive line. He's going to probably have more time. I'm just being honest. I don't want him to get rid of the ball sooner in some of those situations.
Dan Orlovsky has said that it's schematic why he doesn't find the hot read. I don't know what that means, but he's basically saying that the hot read is not as available for Deshaun Watson as it is the Pat Mahomes and the Lamar Jacksons. That's what Dan Orlovsky says. He has said it multiple times, ESPN's Dan Orlovsky, that it's a schematic thing.
Yeah.
It's not as simple as I see it. Because I
don't have that lens in my bag.
We've been in a film session with Deshaun.
Yeah.
Did you feel like that was a guy who didn't know what the hell was going on?
He knew more than anyone could imagine. He is sharp as a tack. And just to clarify, I want Deshaun Watson to play for the Houston Texans.
I can't believe you're running him out of town.
I want Deshaun Watson to play for the Houston Texans for 20 years. What I'm saying, though, is right now on this team with this head coach and this offense and the plays that he's made, I'm not so sure I want him holding on to the ball, because he's at his best when he's holding on to the ball a little longer, making magic happen. If it shortens his career, it'll break my heart.
Jeez.
Be honest. Be honest. I want you to look me in the eye and be honest. Would you rather him get rid of the ball quicker or work that magic for this team, and maybe it'll shorten his career a couple of years?
I mean, why do I have to choose that?
Because that's the question I just asked you. Figure you too. Think about it. We love Deshaun Watson, but let's talk about what we really want here, man.
I hate seeing Deshaun get sacked, man.
I do too.
My heart drops every time it happens.
Y'all haven't answered the question yet, though. Y'all are doing
that
dance.
Obviously, you won a title. I mean, it goes back to what TJ Yates has said and what B.O.B. said. Some of the stuff that he does, you can't coach.
Exactly.
So as far as just getting rid of those plays, no, you're not gonna get rid of those plays, but they just want to eliminate the negative plays that could be controlled from Deshaun, I guess. Here is new special teams coach Tracy Smith on the possibility of replacing DeAndre Carter as the return man.
DeAndre is obviously our returner, punt and kickoff. Kiki Kuti is going to get some chances.
Yes.
Randall Cobb has returned a ton of balls in the past. Will Fuller has a history. Duke Johnson has a kickoff returner. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of guys on the team, and we're going to use these next 4.5 weeks to sort that out before we really start to twist it in and get ready for the Chiefs.
Of all the guys he just mentioned, Randall Cobb is starting, and he's already pretty fragile. He's got some soft tissue issues.
Right.
Duke Johnson is second on the depth chart at running back, and he's very important to what they do. Kiki QT right now on the wide receiver depth chart is listed as sixth. He has an opportunity to return punts and return kicks. Furthermore, I think he had that opportunity last year, because if you look at when Kiki QT went down,
right,
it was in Green Bay on a return in the preseason, and that's when he got hurt. At the time, he was your third receiver. So it was a little bit of a slippery slope of whether or not you wanted to do that.
To put him out there.
He's your fifth or sixth now. So I truly think Kiki QT, who did a pretty good job returning at Texas Tech, I think Kiki QT truly does have an opportunity to maybe get DeAndre Carter off of this team, upgrade at the return spot, and also you add a guy in the slot that caught 12 balls
his rookie year two times. DeAndre Hopkins didn't even do that.
Yeah.
That, to me, is an ideal situation when we look at position battles. I think the third tight end and the punt return game, Kiki QT beating out DeAndre Carter, I think it's realistic. I think there's a reason he mentioned his name first.
Yeah.
I am rooting for Kiki QT to do that because, to me, that gives the Texans a lot more playmaking ability on offense and on special teams. That's two out of three phases right there.
And Kiki QT needs to ask himself, how much does he really want to stay in this league? The answer we all know is a lot. Well, you're going to have to do things like this. You're going to have to say whatever you want, coach. I mean, and you might have to prove yourself. Well, you will have to prove yourself as a returner. I like what I heard from Tracy Smith. But, you know, the special teams, he just can't screw it up. He said as much. I just don't want to. I don't want you to notice me, basically what he said. Because he wants to keep on keeping on with the special teams. The one place that can really be screwed up is the return game, which is the most visible. You know, forget about gunners and protections. And obviously kickers are going to be, you know, a focal point. But one of the most visible is returners. DeAndre Carter could really screw this thing up. So you need to get...
He did three times last year.
Yeah, you need to get the best guys in there.
Three times last year. Falcons, he fumbled to make it a one-possession game. Colts, that disastrous safety crap that happened at the end. And then the Chiefs, you know, that was basically the nail on the coffin. Let's go to Benjamin. Benjamin, you're on In the Loop. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Hey there.
Listen, Deshaun Watson is an MVP-caliber quarterback. We all know that. We traded away one of our... the sixth best player in the NFL... DeAndre Hopkins for a scrap. I'm sorry, but I got to say this. Since Bill O'Brien got here, his scheme, his offense has not worked. You need to make a change. And it's not going to happen with Jack Easterby. He's just going to be a puppet. I'm sorry to say that, but.
Don't apologize.
Don't apologize, man. That's your opinion.
Don't apologize for your opinion.
But, you know, Bill O'Brien needs to go because his scheme does not work. This is not the New England Patriots. He's not Bill Belichick. You just can't cobble a team together with scraps. I mean, we got some genuinely good playmakers, but you know what? We traded away our best playmaker for a broken running back and, what, a fourth-round draft pick?
A second. Well, a second and a fourth swap. Benjamin, yeah. Appreciate the call. Don't apologize for your opinion ever. Just get
exactly.
Right into it.
Exactly. Just bring it.
You don't even have to ask us how we're doing, by the way, because we're doing lovely. It is Football Friday.
Texter says, give me a championship over Deshaun's health any day of the week.
You slime ball. Look
Lopez.
What you started.
Hashtag savage. That's not what I said.
Look what you started.
That's not what I said. I want.
It sounds like it.
I want Deshaun to play 20 years without even getting a hangnail. What I'm saying is, do that without compromising his greatest talent, and that's creating magic. It's like, you know, you got whatever. You go hunting, all right? Mm-hmm. And when you go duck hunting, you
I'm not going to be able to relate to this analogy, by the way.
All right.
I don't think
Figgy
hunts
can.
Either. Figgy
right.
Doesn't hunt either.
Yeah, you can. All right. So where are my duck hunters at? All right. Where are my bird hunters at? All right. So you go duck hunting or bird hunting. And in Texas, you can only have three shells in your gun. Okay. All right. Why go hunting with one shell? That's what I'm saying. Deshaun, at his best, you got to have all his bullets in the gun.
What does Russell Westbrook
what?
Think about that?
Bro, what are you talking about, man?
Views. Let's go to Tony. Tony, you're on In the Loop on a Football Friday. Go ahead. Make my day, Tony.
Yo, let me tell you something. I am so hot, I can't figure out why I'm hot. Because Deshaun Washington, let me get through it myself before.
Go.
Okay. Look, Deshaun Washington is the best ever. The best ever. Okay, we'll go back to 2017. The first game that he had to come in, okay, he didn't get to finish that. But he did Cincinnati. And then what happened with New England? He brought it, and the defense mucked it up.
Mm.
What happened with Seattle? He brought it. The defense mucked it up.
Jimmy Graham.
What happened with New Orleans? The defense mucked it up. So guess what? All I'm saying is Deshaun is not the problem. I don't know why in the hell we cannot get on the same page. I've been a fan for a long time, and I don't understand why the defense and the offense can't get on the same damn page. And that's all I'm hot.
There we go.
And
he's hot.
I
love it.
Tony,
I love it.
Tony is all over the place. She is – She is.
I love it.
She went play for play. I mean, she is right. You look at the Seattle game. Jimmy Graham walks into the end zone. New England. the dropped interception at the end of the game. New Orleans, heroic stuff by Kenny Stills. And then they score a touchdown. It has been like that for Deshaun Watson. I'm going to say this right now. Field Yates of ESPN just put out cap space with the Texans.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's over $20 million right now after players opting out.
Right.
I truly believe this. If this team had Jadeveon Clowney on it, I truly think they would be a contender.
Sure. I'm a lover, man.
I truly think that if this team had Jadeveon Clowney on it right now and you just put him on that defense and you just improved that front seven like that, I think they could have won the Super Bowl last year with Clowney on the team. I mean, if you look at what actually happened with J.J. Watt going out, we've seen Clowney without J.J. Watt on the field. He was an all-pro caliber player. Do you win an extra game? Do you maybe pressure the quarterback a little bit better against the Chiefs?
Mm-hmm.
If you ride it out with Clowney, do you get a bargain? I truly think that if Bill O'Brien could find it in his heart to just say, you know what?
Yeah. Swallow your pride.
You weren't worth what you thought you were, and you clearly weren't worth maybe what we thought you were.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just ride it out for a year. You're familiar with this system. I'll leave you alone. I'll let Anthony Weaver handle you. Jadeveon, come on home. I feel like everything that I think about this football team and every reservation I have would be eliminated, and I would be sitting here talking Houston Texans contenders. Well, just one guy like Jadeveon Clowney.
Yeah, I don't think he would be the answer, but, man, it would help. It would absolutely help. You know, we were talking about earlier, can any player in the NFL, just one player, make this team, this defense, a top five defense? I'm not so sure about that, which always takes me back to the offense, and they're just going to have to outrun people, man. They're just going to have to be the Loyola Marymount of the NFL and just score 160 points a game, you know, as Loyola did back in the day. RIP Hank Gathers. But that leads also to my point on Deshaun Watson. I want him safe. I don't want him hamstrung. I don't want him contained. Let him do those magical things, especially as...
Boy, there's some clowny hate on the text line.
Especially...
Damn, y'all.
In this offense, because I think you and I agree, this offense is not exactly the friendliest, or maybe there's some plays and we've seen some hints of it, but it's not the friendliest for Deshaun Watson's game. Well, let him do his own thing then.
4455 on the text line. You people are tripping on Jadeveon Clowney. To say nobody wants him is silly. That's silly. He might be overrating his value, but that is silly to say nobody wants him. You're crazy. Anyone would take Clowney. 4455, I'm honestly tired. Thank you for being honest, dude. I wouldn't have believed you if you hadn't said you were honest. I'm honestly tired of the Nuke trade stuff. We didn't win with Nuke, so trading him shouldn't be that big of a deal. Now we have a slightly deeper wide receiving group. Deshaun has more people to throw to. We didn't win with Nuke, so trading him should not be a big deal. That's fine.
Well, the Panthers should trade
what
you got
for him then. Get market value for him then.
Right. And it's not fine either, by the way. Should the Panthers trade McCaffrey? Huh? You want to trade Christian McCaffrey? Didn't win with him? What kind of logic is that?
I don't know. Jacksonville not expected to do much winning either. Doug Marrone met with the media types yesterday. This is a goofy-ass guy. Doug Marrone, the coach of the Jags.
He's one of B.O.B.'s BFFs. B.O.B.'s BFFs.
Weird, because this guy is very, very strange. Here's Doug Marrone talking about his quarterback, Gardner Minshew, and the way in which Gardner Minshew acted the other day with the media barking like a dog.
Gardner Minshew is kind of a quirky kid. Do you think that some of that stuff that surrounds his personality may play into some people not maybe giving him the credit that he deserves, or maybe that he could grow into that leading quarterback role for you guys?
So I go home last night, you know what I'm saying? And someone mentioned to me that, hey, did you see the thing about Gardner, a dog barked and he barked it back? I'm like, that's the part I don't see. Does that make sense? In other words, I don't see that part in that player. Not to say that I can't see him not doing those things. You know what I mean? You know, all the
Yeah, I know what you mean, and I know what you're saying. You've said that twice about simple stuff. I went home. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I got it. Go ahead, Coach. Good Lord, Doug.
All those things about, you know, social media, RVs, and all that stuff. I see the guy that comes in with a mission and focus every single day. You know, he's working extremely hard. That's what I see.
Okay.
It does say something about Minshew, though. It really does. He's that guy that can be a chameleon, you know?
It's the people's champ.
When he works hard, plays hard, you know?
People's champ, baby.
Work hard, play hard.
Astros versus A's series begins tonight. Zach Greinke on the bump, 8:10 first pitch. Postgame with yours truly right here on Sports Radio 610. Weekend matchups, Framber Valdez and Christian Javier. By the way, 3 o'clock starts in the middle of the PGA Championship. Let's go, Tiger.
I got a squad.
Let's go, Tiger.
I got a squad on my.
You ain't got Tiger. You ain't got bleep.
On my PGA.
You talked about you rather Deshaun die and the Texans win a championship than you would him have a long career. I would rather lose with Tiger than win with any of those schmucks you got on your squad.
I got a squad, man.
Let's just put it that way. Nick Turturro, Yankees fan, Yankees super fan.
Xander Schauffele.
He's in mid-season form. Don't even know who that is. Here's Nick Turturro.
Fucking guy at home plate. Get your get together, brother. It's not a strike. That's not a strike. You don't know what a strike is if it's smacked you in the head. Here's a strike right here. Idiot.
It's Football Friday. You know what? We're going to do this during lunchtime. 713-572-4610. I want to call all you haters on the text line. Rest the thumb for a little bit, and let's get the gums bumping. Bill O'Brien needs to call Jadeveon Clowney right now. Bill O'Brien needs to call Jadeveon Clowney, send him flowers, send him Tiff's treats right now.
Tiff's
make
treat.
The call, get JD here, let's take those COVID tests, let's get 90 back on the squad. What say you? 713-572-4610. Football Friday continues as training camp continues right next door. Next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.